Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show. Let's see if week two can be as fantastic as week one here with Sean and RJ on your home of America's team, 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys Seahawks Sunday right here on DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Sean and RJ.
Coach, what's your second favorite sport to watch? We got the Stars in the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. I'm assuming it's football number one. What's number two? What's the second sport that you've always loved to take in the most?
I've always enjoyed playoff hockey. I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan from the old days, and you know, just to see the Stars in it, and you know, just what a run they've had. But I just think, you know, the playoff hockey and really, you know, NBA basketball, playoff basketball is also fun to watch.
Are you a playoff beard guy?
Excuse me?
Playoff, are you a playoff beard guy?
Playoff beard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've grown a few beards in my day, but I don't think they were for the playoffs. I think it was more of a yearly commitment. You know, I'm more of an all in guy, so year round or for the whole season.
Are you a playoff beer guy? Celebrating.
Yeah.
Well, I have never drank a beer, as you can obviously tell.
Mike McCarthy here on 105.3 The Fan. Coach, you obviously had a quarterback in Green Bay when this guy was coming out, but you're a quarterback guy. You're known as a quarterback guru. Do you remember scouting or taking a decent look at Russell Wilson when he was coming out? Do you remember what you thought about Russell?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because at that time Russell was right down the road at the University of Wisconsin, and actually, a good friend of mine, John Snyder, is the GM up here in Seattle. And I can remember when John first saw him play, and just fell in love with him. So, and obviously Seattle selected him, and he's had a phenomenal career up there. But you know, just his ability to you know, extend plays, but you know, his background in baseball and his ability to torque a football, and so I mean, you could see that right away. And I've always preferred the athletic quarterback as opposed to the pocket quarterback. So he had a dynamic senior year there at Wisconsin. Obviously, had some success there.
What about size, Mike? Like right now I'm currently taking it on the chin for Kyler Murray. I was like, he's an electric athlete. I love his arm. He's like a video game running around, but he's going to get plucked and he's going to get knocked out. Did you change your mind on the size that a quarterback can be with Baker and Manziel and Russell, or were you always 6'5" prototype guy?
Well, I think the game has made you adjust. If you just look at how the rules and, you know, the emphasis of player safety and the ability to play a more wide open perimeter game, the NFL is so much more geared towards, you know, the space game and the athletic quarterback, where, you know, 10 to 15 years ago that was not the case. So I think you definitely have to adjust your measurables and your thinking in today's NFL as opposed to 10 years ago. Because, I mean, I look at Seneca Wallace, who's working with us right now as a intern assistant coach. And, you know, he was an incredible quarterback. You know, out there at Iowa State, had a chance to work with Seneca in Green Bay. And if he came out today, I mean, he'd be a first-round pick because, I mean, he could play both in the pocket and out of the pocket. And that's something that you have to have in today's game. And, you know, Dak is, I think he's such an incredible fit for today's NFL because of his ability to play in the pocket, out of the pocket, you know, run the option. All those, you know, perimeter type schemes are, you know, right in his wheelhouse.
All right, so with Dak, and you know, you probably did a lot of scouting of him coming out of college too. How is, and looking from afar in Green Bay and in your year off compared to now, how has your impression of him changed based on seeing him up close for these two games and in practice compared to what your perception was coming in?
Well, I think like anything in this league, when you have a chance to watch a player live, and the first time I was able to see, you know, Dak and Zeke live was 2016 in the regular season, and just, you know, was so impressed with him that day in Green Bay, and then, you know, then we had a chance to play, you know, compete against him in the playoffs. So, you know, you could definitely see the ability to play in and out of the pocket in college and then early, but really having the chance to, you know, take a year off and watch, you know, primarily all his games. I was just so impressed with him playing in the pocket. I mean, he is a highly productive player in the pocket, and that's something that, you know, I always get to see every day. So I just think he's got the whole game.
Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Do you, and you talked about this a little bit this week, you know, the up-tempo or slow it down to keep the Seattle Seahawks off the field? Like, maybe this is a Big 12 type game. I hope it is. I took the over, just throwing that one out there. But do you see that? You really do see this as kind of a shootout type game?
Well, I mean, obviously you always want to go into a football game with the mindset defensively holding your opponent under 18 points. So, I mean, that you know, that goal never really changed. They may fluctuate a little bit based on your opponent, but you know, offensively, you know, I've always played with a wide open mentality because, you know, I'm obviously, we're doing everything we can to win the game this year, but you know, there's a growth process that has to occur with your football team, especially in week three, and so my focus is on winning and improving as a football team. So, you know, up tempo, standard huddle. You know, these things are you know, philosophical approaches that you have to have. Now, how much you do of them in the game will really dictate the flow of it. But, you know, we have to have the ability to play up-tempo and standard huddle each and every game. I mean, we're blessed with a number of excellent playmakers in our perimeter, and, you know, we have to get those guys the ball.
I think you guys are number one or really close to the top in terms of tempo so far. I don't know how much of that was attributed to the Falcons in the second half. But a lot of times, Coach, and again, I'm going to ask you a simple question, but a lot of fans say, we're moving it at the end of the half. We're going up tempo when we're down 20 or 25. Why don't you just do that from the beginning of the game? Why don't you just do that throughout the game? Is it about giving your defense time to rest? Is it about what is the answer to that, Coach, when fans bring that up?
Well, it's like any approach in a game of football, is that there's pros and cons to it. And you know, when the up-tempo works, but, you know, obviously time of possession has been out of balance for us both weeks. So you have to be conscientious of that. You know, if your defense is on the field a bunch, you know, we had the ball on the ground six times in the first 15 plays. So, you know, our defense was on the field a tremendous amount of time there in the first quarter. So those are all variables in your decision, you know, whether you go up-tempo or not. Yeah, that's why, you know, every game's so different, and you have to pay attention to those things.
Mike McCarthy here on The Fan. Can you ever remember a series of fumbles like that in any level of coaching?
And oh, my God.
Can you even say anything as a coach? I mean, what are you going to say? Hold on to the ball? I mean, they're trying, obviously. It has nothing to do with coaching, but can you ever remember anything like that?
Well, I think like anything, coaching, you try everything. I said bad words and I prayed, and neither one of them worked. So, like I said, I've never seen anything like it. I thought the ball was greased there for a minute. But, I mean, you have to give the Falcons credit. They did a great job punching it out, and that, you know, it's something that, you know, we take a lot of pride in and we work on, you know, every single day. So it's a teaching moment now for us as a team, but that's definitely that's about as rough start as I think I've ever seen.
Now, Coach, last week you said, I'm not alarmed at this point on Tyron, and he scared the hell out of all of us when he was inactive. How are things looking for Tyron and Tank this week?
He's getting better. Actually, I just saw him downstairs, you know, going to get the daily test. So he's improving. So I think, you know, tomorrow, if he can practice tomorrow, he'll have a chance. But, you know, he's getting better.
And Tank?
Tank? Who's Tank?
Oh, DeMarcus Lawrence?
Oh, wow. Is that his nickname?
Coach, come on now.
Oh,
you
wow.
didn't know that was a Tank Lawrence.
Hey, I'm, you know, I don't – hey, where I come from, everybody has two nicknames. I get it.
What were yours?
Oh, that's not the point. So, I mean, he lost. I didn't know his nickname was Tank. Okay.
No, DeMarcus.
Tank looked good yesterday, so he practiced well. See how he comes in today.
And Diggs, I think I should just go coach speak with the numbers. 27 going to be available for you?
He practiced yesterday, so same way. We'll see how he responds the day after is important in these situations.
Mike McCarthy.
I thought this was a fun radio show.
This is fun. We're having fun. We're having a good time.
Okay. Well, yeah. As long as you guys are having fun.
What's it? Is it Rob Domofsky? Who's the ESP? I will find out the two nicknames by next Friday. I guarantee.
Oh, no. That's not necessary. Come on, let's focus on the Cowboys. Yeah, let's.
There we go.
We talked enough about the past.
All right. Mike McCarthy joins us here, 105 through the Fan. I want to go back to the 2-point conversion. I loved the play. You know, I'm a numbers guy. You know, I love that you kind of dunked on all the old school folks with going for the 2-point conversion. But you know,
dunked on the old school folks.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, okay.
But when you do when you go and make a decision like that, is there someone like? Do you have like a guy with the numbers like readily available at the time? Like, hey, this is the time to go for it. Do the 2-point conversion. Do you go strictly by the numbers? Do you use your gut at all? How does that work?
Well, I you know, that particular situation. I mean, that conversation has been had a 100 times. It's something that it's always been debated over the years, and I think there's other elements to it and other variables to it that are presented by the way the game is going. So you take them into account. But the, you know, the general philosophy of going for the 2-point on the first score is, you know, to determine are you in a 1-score game or a two-score game. Because with that makes both sides of the ball play with a different mindset. So that's the general philosophy of it. But, you know, there's also the philosophy of going for it at the end, which pretty much puts you in a position of playing for a tie and extending the game. And that's still an option to do that. So, but purely by the numbers, if you had to make a mathematical choice, the decision that we made is correct. But there's still room in your thinking to not go for it there and play to, you know, try to tie it there at the end of the game. So clearly understand both, have done both. But in this particular game, this particular situation with all the factors, we made the right decision. And it worked out. So
it did. It did. Coach, you know, a couple of the defensive players are talking about simplifying things on defense, maybe, you know, guys having their hand in the dirt more. What are some of the defensive changes that you guys might do? And it's a little early. I mean, is that normal week after week two to kind of do some wholesale changes on defense?
I don't look at them as wholesale changes. I think just like anything, when things don't go right, people can tend to overreact. I think that the merit between the 2-point stance and the 3-point stance, I've gone through this before. With players, I use Julius Peppers as the example. You know, he's primarily a 3-point stance player, and then, you know, came to this defense and went to 2-point on first, second down, and played with the 3-point on third down. So I think there's merit for both. There's obviously benefits of being a 2-point stance. I think there's merit to being it in first and second down. You can see more. There's a lot more going on at the line of scrimmage in today's game than it was 10 years ago. You know, the motions and shifts, and you know, there's pre-snap information that you can be more in tune with from a 2-point stance than a 3-point stance, because obviously you can see more. So those are all things that, you know, a new staff and new scheme, this is part of the growing, you know, pains that we expect to go through. And you know, I think we all try to categorize it under, you know, playing with rhythm and timing and connection. And that's this is exactly what we're talking about. So I think wholesale changes. I look at them more as, you know, tweaks and adjustments that we'll, you know, we'll continue to make as we move forward.
All right, Coach, we'll let you go with this. Mike McCarthy every Friday with Sean and RJ on the Fan. The safety position is going to be a huge talking point with this game, all the Earl Thomas stuff, the Jamal Adams rumors. Did you talk to your good friend John Schneider about Earl Thomas, and is that door officially closed?
Well, I mean, just like anything, I mean, personnel is it goes on, you know, throughout the year. But as, I mean, seriously, as a head coach, I've always focused on my guys, the guys that are here. You know, Will McClay and Jerry and Steven are, you know, always involved in those conversations. And frankly, I don't want to be involved at the everyday level, because my focus is on developing the guys that are here. You know, I've always been a huge proponent of developing the young players. I think Earl's a fantastic player. I've had a chance to coach him in the Pro Bowl. But, you know, those things are, you know, those happen on another, you know, on another level, like right now, and that's the way it should be.
All right, Chop, tell them what you did. Tell them what Jamal Adams is saying about us. Tell them what you're responsible for real quick.
I got to be honest with you here. You know, we put Jamal in a pass coverage body bag here over the last few days. He got torched by Edelman. I would love to see you get him and CD matched up one-on-one and just, you know, watch him just be completely out of it. But are you I do have to apologize. If he gets like three picks, it's my fault. But if CD gets six catches on six targets for 157 yards like Edelman did last week, yeah, you know, you're gonna have to buy me dinner.
He's noticed, Coach.
You guys need to get some real hobbies here. My God, if you watch the tape, I mean, the guys, he pressures a lot. We understand that right now. I mean, he's a primary blitzer, and they're good at it. The combination pressures that they've used in week one or week two, it's a totally different scheme that they've run in the past. So, I'm all for that. We like our matchups, you know, as far as our perimeter versus their perimeter. But, you know, Jamal is, he spends a lot of time crossing the line of scrimmage, and, you know, that's a focus for us.
Yeah, he just said yesterday, I hear back home, people are telling me that the media is talking about me not being able to cover. So just don't hold that against us next week, Coach, if something happens. But it won't happen. You guys go to Seattle and get the W. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. And the mission for next week is finding out the nicknames. I promise I'll have them. Be safe.
All right. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.